conditions. All of a sudden, these massive clouds rolled in, rain clouds rolled in that are never there. Highly unusual. They rolled in there, and guess what happened? It rained and poured and rained and poured and rained and poured on that dry, barren desert. And you know what happened afterwards? Flowers. It looked like a garden grew, just exploded. And you can look it up later. Okay, but this garden grew because of these very special weather conditions. But here's the real key. There were some seeds in the ground. There had been seeds in the ground for years and years, okay? But nothing was going on until the rain came. Okay, and after the rain came, by the way, Isaiah 51, they had an Isaiah 51. It says the wastelands will be turned into a beautiful garden. Well, that's what happened in Death Valley. It got turned into this beautiful garden. And all of a sudden, people are coming out to study why it happened. And it's because what was in the ground already? Seeds were in the ground already, okay? The seeds had been in the ground, but they couldn't reach their potential until the rain. So where am I going with this? Some of you already know. Listen, guys, listen. God has placed seeds in your heart. How about God has placed seeds in your heart for 2021? Anybody have some seeds in your heart for 2021? Man, I do. He's placed seeds in your heart for things that have yet to come, but we might have to have some rain. So everybody say, I have seeds in my heart for 2021. Okay, and I don't know about you, but maybe your 2020, excuse me, was a little dry. Anybody look like nothing was growing in your life in 2020, all right? And it did look like that, and it may look like Death Valley, okay? Maybe your marriage looked like Death Valley. Maybe your finances look like Death Valley. Maybe whatever looked like Death Valley, because it looked like nothing was living and nothing was growing, all right? But the rain. All right, so I'm going to take a left turn. How many of you read this book? It's by Dutch Sheets. Oh my golly, go get one. There's two in the bookstore. Dutch Sheets, he's actually on the, what's the name of his, the 15-minute, excuse me? Give him 15. Anyway, okay. So this book is on intercessory prayer, and then probably about 20 years ago, I was like, you know, I just feel like, would you, Sherry, say weak sauce prayer. I felt frustrated that my life had weak sauce prayer. It wasn't really producing. Someone tossed me this. And I started reading, but the first chapter, Judge Sheets says he was invited to go pray for this young lady that was in the hospital. And that's all he knew. So he gets to the hospital to pray, a sister, don't you love your family? Come pray for my da-da-da-da-da, my father, my mother. So this sister invited Dutch Sheets into the hospital to pray for her sister. And he gets there and he says, she's in a coma. She's on one of those feeding tubes. She's on a trach. Her brain's like a vegetable. And he was invited in to go pray. So not only was he invited by the sister, but he was invited by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to pray for this girl. So he went in for a whole year. A whole year he'd go in, and every time he goes in, he ends up by staying a little longer praying for this lady, young girl, okay? And there were days he said, I'd leave, and I'd go, God, did you see? Did you see what state she's in? God, did you see I'm praying and nothing's happened? God, did you see? I don't see much, God. And then he went in one day, and it's, yay is right there, remember. She woke up. Her brain, which was had been covered with this virus, and they said even if she'd wake up, she'd be a vegetable. She was healed. Okay, Now, why do I tell you that? Somebody had seeds in their heart. Somebody had seeds in their heart. And I believe, listen, guys, I believe 2021, there are seeds, and the Holy Spirit's going to water them, and we're going to see a beautiful garden. But the thing I want to ask you, can you see that? Can you see that? All right? So, and listen, don't lose hope because you can't, looks like nothing's growing. Don't lose hope. Let me tell you, we're 10 days into January. Don't lose hope. All right? Don't lose hope. So I want to really encourage you. And whatever Death Valley you have been staring at for years, I don't give a hunk of baloney. Could you have seen those seeds growing? Or it's just going to be another one of those years, all right? And I don't want another one of those years. Gosh, right? Amen. And listen to this. Did you know that God is in the business of changing Death Valley into beautiful gardens? He's in the business of changing Death Valley. Dreams that you have that look like they're dead, that look like nothing's growing, that look like that's it, baby. He's in the business of doing that. And you know how I know that? Read your Bible, right? From cover to cover. You'll see story after story of Death Valley that's turned. So open up to Genesis. Here's our first one. First person we're going to talk about. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17 verses 4 and 5. In Genesis chapter 17, there's this guy named Abram, and he is in Death Valley, all right? Abram is in Death Valley. You know why? Because he's got no children. He's got no children, and this is what God says to him. As for me, this is my covenant with you, verse 4. You will be the father. Everybody say, you will be the father. And you might want to write it down, okay? You will be the father of many nations, verse 5. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be changed to? I know you knew the story, okay? For I have made you. Everybody say, I have made you. You should write that one down. I have made you a father of many nations. Now, you might be thinking, Pastor D, that's a cute story. I already know that. I got kids. That's the whole problem. That's not the story, guys. That's not the story. And this is it. This is like your main idea. If you're taking notes, write this down. You can be everything that God has made you to be. You can be everything that God has made you to be. What did he say to Abraham? He said, you will be a father because I have, come on people, made you a father, all right? So you can become everything that God has made you. So this is what you should all be going now. Well, what has God made me? All right, what has God made me? If you have received Jesus Christ into your life, he has made you, baby. He has made you. And by the way, go to our bookstore. This is half price. In him will tell you. And this one, know what belongs to you. Okay? But I want you to read the Bible. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. What has God made you? This is just one of hundreds of scriptures that will tell you what God made you. Ephesians 1, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us or planned for us or picked us out. I love that. He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. All righty. So did you hear that? God chose you. Everybody say God chose you. God chose me. Yeah, better yet, better. God planned me. How about that one? God planned me. God chose me. He called me. And it says King James, before the foundations of the earth. Like, guys, think about this. Just imagine, before God said, light be, he chose you. Before the earth was made, he chose you. He planned you. And I'm just going to push you off the edge to your screaming, ah! He put seeds inside of you. Okay? Did you go off the cliff? All right. God chose you. He planned you, and he put seeds inside of you even before he made the earth. Isn't that amazing? I love it. I love it. And then Psalm 139, verse 3 says, he knitted you together in your mother's womb. How many of you heard that? So as God knitted you together in his mother's in your mother's womb, he placed seeds inside of your heart. Seeds inside of your heart, okay? Seeds that are going to come up, seeds that are going to come to life, seeds that are going to come alive at the right time when the Holy Spirit reigns and says, woo, this is the right time. This is 2021, and I put seeds and dreams inside of you. And unless you know that and unless you believe that, you are just going to be one of those moaners and complainers and grumblers about 2021. I'm sick and tired of listening to y'all. I am. If I get a little rude and just kind of walk away from you. Come on. All right. Praise God. Okay, but I'll be nice. So God says, Abram, you are a father because I have already made you a father. Whoa. Man. Huh. Isn't that good? Good. That's good. Okay. So your main idea, again, you can be everything God has already made you to be. You can become everything God has already made you. Everybody say, I can become everything God has already made me. Okay, now I have to say this. I'm not saying, okay, you got to write this down. I'm not saying you can become anything. Parents. Stop saying that to your kid, okay? Okay, because you can't. How many of you have ever watched The Voice? I remember watching this, okay? And they had this guy come up. Anybody know the one I saw, the clip? And he starts singing. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then I was so embarrassed, I had to close my eyes. I couldn't watch. This guy, his mama should have told him, you can't be anything, because honey, you have other things you can be, all right? So you can't be anything, but you can be everything that God says in his word that he's made you, all right? Everything, all righty? So everything, you can be everything that God has already made you, that God has already planned for you, that God has already put seeds in you before he said, let there be light. You can be. Say, I can be. I can be everything that God has called me to be because he said so, all right? So get ready to say, ouch. That scripture in Ephesians 1:4 says, he has made you holy so you can live holy. Well, Pastor D, you just know God knows my heart. That's why I'm doing that. He made you holy so you can live holy. All right? Don't pull that one on me, all right? He said, I've made you more than a conqueror, so you can live more than a, wah, wah, wah. No, so you can live more than a conqueror, all right? Because that's what Jesus has done. That's what he's made me, so I can live more than a conqueror. So I'm not going to go, 2021, 10 days, look what happened, okay? Amen. Okay, now, you can do this not because of your own strength, not because you got the coolest personality, okay, but because seeds were planted. We're going back to the seeds. Seeds were planted in your heart by God. Amen. And even if that ground, like Dutch sheets, look temporary like Death Valley, I'm telling you, the rain of the Holy Spirit is going to come. It's here, personally, you know. Anyway, it's here. Praise God. Praise God. All righty. So that's one guy in the Old Testament. Anybody ever hear Gideon? Write down Judges chapter 5. You can read it tonight. It's just good. Judges chapter 5. So Gideon is this young teenager who's scared out of his wit list. I mean, he's just scared out of his brain. And he's also probably the most insecure, lowest self-esteem person that you're ever going to read about in the Bible. And God shows up one day, and what does God say to him? Gideon, I have made you, you are a mighty warrior. You are a mighty warrior. Well, Gideon's like, right? No, and the reason why is God planted seeds before the foundation of the earth that he has made him to be a mighty warrior. Therefore, he's going to be a mighty warrior. Therefore, he is a mighty warrior. All right, now, and he was, and he did, okay? You can be everything God has made you. Okay, read your Bible. It'll tell you, all righty? So, Abram, you can be a father of many nations because I've made you to be a father. Gideon, you can be a warrior because I made you a warrior. All right, some of you got to fill in the blanks for yourself there. Okay. So if God called you before the foundations of the earth, and if God has already placed seeds inside of the heart, your heart, even though it's looking like Death Valley, man, it's just looking Death like Valley, and even though God is going to send rain, then you have to say, what's my part of the equation? There's always a God part. God just said, I made you this, and then there's an our part. Our part, my part, okay? So what's my part so that I can have these seeds grow up into this beautiful garden? What's my part? Everybody say, what's my part? It's actually going to be your homework so you can write it down ahead of time. But listen, okay, here we go. We have to make sure our heart is good ground. Our heart is good ground, all righty? Everybody say, my heart, good ground. So I was doing a little, hey, Google, how many times, blah, blah, blah. So I asked Google, how many times is the word heart in the Bible? Hebrew and Greek, cover to cover. And it is the second most used word in the entire Bible. You'll see heart, 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 heart. And the first word the word that's used more than that is the name of the Lord. So I know I'm not so smart some days, but I am smarter than a fifth grader. And if I see this word, the second most used word in the Bible, I think it might be important. God is very interested in your heart because we have a responsibility. This is our part. This is God. God has made us already, but we have a part, all righty? So just jot these down. You can look them up later. Proverbs 4:23 says that we need to what? Guard our heart. Anybody ever read that? Guard your heart with all diligence, not once a week. Okay? Guard your heart. James 4:8 says we need to purify our hearts. Psalms 51:10 says we need to keep our heart clean. Okay, so that's only three scriptures out of dozens that talk about our heart. So we need to do something with our heart, not only because God wants us to, but our heart is the breeding ground, I'm telling you, of the seeds that God's planted for our future. Do you do biology and they had those petri dishes? And they were stick all sorts of cooties and germs in there. They were the breeding ground, okay? I don't want my heart to be one of those, okay? So we have to guard this heart, purify our heart, okay? And watch our heart. And if we keep a clean heart and a pure heart, then those Death Valley stuff is not going to stop my heart from growing into the plans and fulfilling everything God has for me. So I'm going to do something with my heart. So I just want to share two things. This is going to be short and sweet today, all right? Two attitudes. Everybody say attitudes. If you've never had a teenager, you will soon know what attitude is. I'm telling you what. Amen, parents? Man, attitudes. Okay, but the Bible talks a lot about attitudes, and especially this first one. And it's really important. It's actually necessary for us to have this right attitude so that the seeds in our heart can grow so we can fulfill and get to those dreams and plans and stuff. Okay, so here's the first one. If you're taking notes, write down a humble heart. The attitude you need to have in your heart, a humble heart, okay? because God's seeds will only grow in a humble heart. How many of you already know that to be true? If you've been around the block, you're like, oh yeah, baby, okay. Now, it's really interesting. Every time you see a list in the Bible where God lists all the things he hates, I hate this, I hate this. God's the only one that's allowed to say that. I hate this, I hate this. Guess what's at the top of the list? You don't know? Come on. What's always at the top of the list? Pride. It's kind of the opposite of being humble, right? Pride is always listed at the top of the list, all righty? And why does God hate pride? Because it aborts the seed. Pride takes away, how about this, the power of the seed. Pride, that's what it does. So that's why God hates pride. And James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud. Pride. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. All right? So guess what kind of heart I want to have? I want to have a humble heart. You guys want to have a humble heart. All righty? Now, God's so cute. He really is cute. Because he wants us to have a humble heart, he gives us, just hear me right on this when I use, methods to have a humble heart. Methods, okay? And of course, the first one is his word, okay? The word. How many of you have done this? You sat down in the morning. You're going to have your time. Just want to spend time with God. And you're reading, and you may be doing Russian roulette where you open up your Bible, stick your finger down there, and you read it. But maybe you're on a Bible plan, or maybe you're just reading through, and you open it up, and you are expecting this soothing, uplifting, inspiring words. And you read something, you're like, it's like God just smacks you in the face. Because what you just read is he's pointing out, just maybe your character needs some tweaking. Or just maybe he's pointing out a weakness in your life, all right? Yeah, I've even done this. How many of you have the YouTube Bible app? Oh, get it. Because when you're too tired to read, you press it and it just starts talking to you. It just reads it. So one day I was running short on time and I thought, well, I'll just press the app and just listen to the thing they have going that day, the scripture. And it was like, again, another up from the app. D, you need to work on this. I'm like, oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay, but listen, guys, when God uses his word to humble you, it's because he wants the seeds inside of you to grow so you can get where you need to go and you can see the things you want to see. All right, so it's good. Everybody say his word keeps me humble. So hang out in the word. Amen, amen. Okay, and of course, the second thing that God uses is his spirit. So if you're taking notes, write down, he uses his spirit. An example, don't raise your hand, but has this ever happened to you? Every time you've said something you should have said, done something you shouldn't have done, you get this, you know, it's the Holy Spirit just going, gosh, you really should have shut your mouth, all right? I do. He says to me all the time, all the time. I'm trying not to let him do it all the time because I'm trying not to say things and do things. But I'm telling you guys, he will, he'll give you this, I call it the nudging of the Holy Spirit when you've done something you shouldn't have done or said something that you should have done. And what should you do if you've done that right away? Repent. God, you're right. Jeez, Louise, I shouldn't have said that. God, I ask for your forgiveness. I thank you for forgiveness. And then he might ask you to go to somebody who you hurt with your words and ask them for forgiveness. Anybody have to do that? Yeah, all right. So God will humble us by his spirit, and that's good, okay? But the thing in the world that we just don't like, the method that we hate the most for God working on us being humble and keeping us out of pride is when he uses other people. Other people come up to us like, well, let me give you a Bible example. I was trying to think about a Bible example. So Nahum, Nahum was this commander, probably had like 5 stars on his shoulders, and he was this really valiant soldier, and he had gotten a disease in his body, leprosy, the Bible says, and his wife's servant, a little girl, comes up and says, "Hey, I know this prophet over in Israel. You should go see him." And his pride was like, first off, you as a girl, and you're my servant. And later on, he did. But listen, and he got healed. And there's more to the story. But if he let his pride control him, think, who do you think you are? He would have died with leprosy. I don't want to be that person, all right? How many of you have had your kids come up and just correct you? Like, you shouldn't be fighting with mommy, daddy. Mommy, you need to be nice to daddy, you know? They're really cute, all right? I remember one time I was at church. We had this really wonderful young lady who was heading up our children's department, and we were doing some planning for an up-and-coming event. And anytime we do anything, your kids are invited. So she brought her kids in, and, you know, we're doing this and we're doing that. And our 12-year-old daughter comes up to me and says, "You know, Pastor D, I have this idea. I think you should try whatever it was, da-da-da-da-da." And I gave her one of these. "Thanks, sweetie. That was real nice." Uh-huh. You know, and in my brain, I'd already chucked it in the garbage. Okay? And the Lord spoke to me. "Who do you think you are, so full of your pride, that you cannot receive from a child who I gave the word, the right word, the right direction?" Oh, God. And it was a good idea, too, by the way. You know, it always was, okay? Let me tell you, it was like, pierce your heart and repent. Of course, that only happens to me. None of you guys have ever had that, right? Okay. How about when your spouse, God uses your spouse. You know, your spouse that's got a million flaws and does this, this, and this, and they come up and they give you a direction, an encouragement, maybe even a correction. And you're like, "Well, And one time I rattled off to Jack, because I was in such a sweet, "Not one of your little counselees." Man, I was stinky of pride. And it didn't take long for the Holy Spirit to scratch, kick, slap, okay? And it's just usually, he's right away doing that, the Holy Spirit. But it took me a little bit to go, "Oh man, that was bad. I'm sorry," okay? So, when God humbles you, moving right along, that's such a good story. When God humbles you through the word, through his spirit, and through other people, he does that because maybe he's about ready to release dreams that need to be fulfilled. Or maybe he's about ready to start the growth of that seed so that what was hiding in you can now come out, right? So a humble heart is a good thing. Everybody say, "I like a humble heart. I'm going to keep a humble heart." So here's my second one, and it'll be my last one. The second attitude you have to have in your heart is an open heart. Let me tell you, I'm working on that all the time. For real, if you know me, okay? Listen, an open heart, because listen to this. There are dreams coming from the Lord, and you have to have an open heart that he might just do something bigger, right? He might do, so how about write this up? We need to expand our heart instead of, "This is the way we always do it, my way or the highway." I'm going to look at the floor. I'm not looking at anybody because I've been so guilty of this. "I don't like your idea. What do you know? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da." Okay, how about we need to expand our heart so that we can understand the dreams God has. 2021. Amen? Turn over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. Listen to this. Verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher and the earth than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So are my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay? Now, this is not a public announcement that God's thoughts are higher than yours and yours are low. Because I want to go, duh, I know that already, right? He's the creator. He knows my beginning and from the end. God knows everything. So this is more than that, all right? This is more than that, all right? It is actually an invitation for you to expand your heart to God's ways, expand your thoughts to God. He's just amazing, all right? And then listen to verse 7. Listen to this one. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Now, right away, I'm like, oh, I'm not the wicked. Well, how about the stupid? All right? Let the stupid forsake their low ways, and the unrighteous his thoughts, and return to the Lord. All righty? I believe that God is calling us to big dreams in 2021. I do. And we might have to expand our heart so we can see it, we can hear it, and we can run with it, all right? Because listen, his dreams are big. Everybody say his dreams are big. And you're a part of his family. He wants you in on it, all right? So we have to be ready. That's why you have to expand your heart. But you have to be ready for dreams. So how about be ready for the dreams for your family? How about be ready for the dreams for your marriage? How about be ready for the dreams for your career, all right? And how about if you have your own business, be ready for dreams for your business, all right? How about if you're in leadership here at YCF, be ready for bigger dreams, all right? And the Lord really spoke to me. He said, do you need to expand your heart? You have lived small dreams. I was like, whoa, whoa. So I'm getting quiet. Right? Now, was 2020 rough? There were shutdowns, roadblocks, okay? And it may have looked like Death Valley for parts of your life. Dreams that you had, it looked like they were dead and not going anybody. But listen, it maybe looked like there's nothing there. There's not even a little shoot, okay? But I believe, everybody write this down. The best is yet to come. Amen. The best is yet to come. And you have to have that dream in your heart. Or you're just wasting space on the planet. Can I be just, think about it. If you don't, you know, I'm just like, go on. How about you have big dreams? How about you have big dreams? Praise God, all right? No laughing over there. Because you have a choice. You can either have big dreams or you can live in Death Valley, all right? And I don't want to live there anymore. I want to have big dreams. So homework. What are your dreams? What are your dreams for you individually? If you're married, what are your dreams for your marriage? If you've got kids and grandkids and grannies, what are your dreams, okay? How about what are your dreams for your business? What are your dreams? I've got dreams for YCF, and if you're involved here, do you have some dreams for YCF? I promise I will listen. All right, quiet over there. So just maybe we need to expand our heart so that we can see the seeds. How about see the dream that God has for you individually or whatever's going on in your life? How about you expand your heart, all right? And I know so many people that they finished one dream, it came to pass, and then that's it. They're like, quit. If you got breath in your lungs, you have dreams that God's placed, all right? And you might have to get quiet. And if you have a spouse, pray about it. Just get together and say, let's talk about what's dreams for us individually, what's dreams for our family, what's dreams for our vision, our business and stuff like that. All right? Now, there is no limit to the potential of a seed. Pretend I'm holding a seed. This is a seed for a giant redwood. There is no limit to the potential of a seed, the seed. But there is a limit if I put it in a small flower pot. Okay? And it may grow, and you'll look at, you might say, oh, that's a pretty looking plant. Yeah, yeah. Okay? But it's not going to reach its potential of this big giant redwood. All right? Because it's limit. The flower pot limited. The flower plot limited the potential of the seed. All right. So how about we need to have bigger hearts? God, stretch my heart this year. Amen? All right. Sister Jerrell, come up here. Come on, come on, come on. Run up. Come on, come on, come on. The reason why I'm asked Jerrell up, and we're going to do it short. We can do this. Jerrell's so funny. So Jerrell, okay, you hold that one here. Okay, come on up here. Right, come on up here. So Sister Jerrell, God planned dreams and seeds inside of her before he said, let there be light. And she was a little girl, and they were poor. And her grandmom took her in line to get food. Been on one of those lines to get food. I believe that was the water, the rain of the Holy Spirit. I can do this. And then years gone by, and Jerrell, that seed was watered by the Holy Spirit, and Jerrell started delivering food, go ahead, from there on, in her car. Take that thing down. We're good. You know we're good. Okay. Come get on here. I am. I'm good. You're good.
All right. Boy, I am so much ready.
Okay, no, don't get to the big one. Start okay. The little, okay. I want you to go all right. hop.
Okay,
because you got to hear this.
Okay.
This is encouraging.
Okay, I just want to encourage you. I was raised by my grandmother and my older brother, and I was raised by our grandmother. Our birth mother had birthed 9 children, but we are the 2 oldest ones, okay? And so my grandmother raised us in the projects and, you know, poor and the food stamps and all this stuff, welfare. You know, it was just something in us too, you know, from early on. And we seen how hard our grandmother worked, you know, cleaning houses and all this stuff, because welfare back then wasn't enough money, you know, for her to take care of us. Plus, she raised her 5 children and all this stuff. And so we've seen all this hand-me-down stuff going to the auction. And, you know, never had nothing new, hand-me-down clothes. And then mom, well, we call her mom, you know, she would take us to Benevolence, which was underneath College Avenue Bridge. And before we would go to school in the morning, she would bundle us up, you know, in the freezing cold, walk across that cold College Avenue Bridge just to get a little number. And then go back home. Then you go back down there again because they would tell you what time to come back to get food. And so she would take us back down there again. And then they would give us this little bag of potatoes, apples, that Spam. Oh, I hate Spam today. that Spam and that surplus cheese. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And the only kind of milk that we had for our cereal was that Nancy powder dry milk. Oh, the lumpy palace, so all that stuff, you know. So that's how we was raised. And
the Holy Spirit rained on that seed. Come on.
And then as time went on, and then, you know, even when, you know, we was made fun of in school and stuff, because then, you know, we had to eat free lunch. And then our friends, you know, they had mom and dad, you know, they could afford to pay for lunch. Then we would ease our little card out, you know, pretend like we're paying for our lunch and all this stuff. You know, my brother, he hated it. Oh. And then as we got older and graduated from school, so we decided, you know, God had that seed in our heart, me and my brother's heart, that we're that we are not going to just graduate and leave home, that we're going to show our grandmother how much we appreciate her and for taking us in, because she could have just said, no, I'm not going to raise no more kids, no, you know, because we could have been separated, you know, in foster care and all this stuff. So then we decided to, back then it was a furniture store on the corner of King and Penn Street called Young Furniture, Furniture Shop Store. And so me and my brother, we work hard and we save enough money to buy my buy our grandmother a house full of brand new furniture. Just appreciation, let her know we appreciate all she did for us, you know, because she didn't have to take us in. And so all that, and then because she raised us up in church, so I was in church all my life. So, you know, and then even in church, I was trying to fit in, and I couldn't fit in even in, you know, different things in church. But I always was a servant. God, you know, always had me, you know, work in the kitchen or serve food or whatever, you know, just serving. Not nothing, you know, I'll be doing in the future, you know, just being a servant in church. And so one day the pastor, he asked me, he said, Gerald, he says, I want you to head up noonday prayer. I said, me? Because sometimes you think you're inadequate of doing anything, you know what I mean. And so I said, well, where I come from, you have to go through, you know, the protocol, you know, go to this class and that class and this and that. You just can't just use a lay member to head up noonday prayer. He says, well, I'm asking you to head up noonday prayer. So I said, oh, okay, you know. And so that was in 2004. So God gave me how to do all that. And so I would be there for 1 hour every Tuesday and Friday afternoon. So all that went through. And so then one day, it was on a Friday after noonday prayer, I just went home and just took a nap. Just, you know, I wasn't thinking about nothing in particular. Just took a nap. And then I woke up. I said, then while I was taking this nap, he gave me this dream. I'm like, well, all these people. And I'm like, what? You know, coming to me to get food? You know, like I wasn't thinking about nothing like that. But he gave me this dream, something like Joseph, like your family, your brother's going to bow down to you, you know. So he gave me this dream of this big, you know, building of massive people just coming and getting food. And I have all this food, all kinds of food, just to give to the people that was in need. And so then when my husband came home from work, then I was telling him about it. He said, oh, and that was it. And but then it just wouldn't leave me. It just, ooh, just, you know, it was just there. It just kept on, you know. And I kept on saying, what am I going to? I didn't have to ponder about what to name this food pantry or nothing. No, the name was already there. Everything was there in me. You know, just something just stirring up. And the name was Harvest of Blessing. Harvest of Blessing. And I just couldn't shake that, right? So then I said, well, you know, God gave it to me. It's in me. So I got to, you know, step out on this, you know, step out and do this. And so what I did was I started walking. Back then, I started walking to the Salvation Army, right, and on King Street. And in the back there, they will put out their day-old bread, all kind of stuff out there, and people can just walk up there and get as much as they want. So I will walk up there and get that donuts and breads and stuff, and then walk home. And then on Sunday after church, I would ask the pastor, I say, do you mind if I tip out a little early and just set up tables in the vestibule? And then, because you never know, people come to church every Sunday. You don't know that somebody may need, you know, may not have food at home, you know, when they leave here. They're not going to, everybody not going to tell you that they're poor or in need. I said, just make it available. I said, do you mind if I do that? He said, no, go ahead, set up the tables, you know. So that's what I would do. I would get stuff out of my cupboards, me and my kids, and then we'd put stuff in the car, in the back of my car, the trunk, and then we would take it to church, and then we'll make it available for the people. Just sit it on the tables, don't say nothing, just, you know, smile, you know, and say yes, you can, you know, and don't you know, it started like that. And then
tell me about your next vehicle. Come
and
on.
And then the next vehicle was when I told the pastor, no, I said, you know what? I believe God is going to send people from the north, south, east, and west. They're going to hear about Harvest of Blessing, you know, because we were not the big boys like United Way and all the big boys, you know, coming out of pantries. We are kind of, you know, I always say peon, you know. But anyhow, I said, I just believe. Another seed, I just believe. And then one day, Daily Record, they called me and they said, Jira, they said, we heard about Harvest of Blessing. We want to know if we can come where you at now to see how you serve the people and this and that. I said, sure, come on. Can we do a report on you? I said, I had nothing to hide. I said, come on. I just tell you how I started. I said, I had nothing to hide. And so she said, okay. She said, I'll be there, you know, such and such a time and watch people come through and see what all you're giving them. So I said, okay. And she did, and after it was all over with, then we sat in the room there, and she had her paper and pen writing everything down, asking me questions. And then she said, I'm going to try my best to have this article in the Sunday paper. So I said, okay. And then that following week, I got a phone call from this lady. Now, I just put it out in the atmosphere that people going to come from this, hear about Harvest of the Blessing, South, East, North, and West. And so this lady, she said, my name is so-and-so, and I read your article in the paper, and I told my husband I'm not going to give another dime. We're not going to give another dime to the United Way or Salvation Army, nowhere. We want to, you know, help this lady here. We want to help Harvest of Blessing. We want to, you know, put our money with you. I said, okay.
Amen. Thank you,
I said, okay. And so don't you know? She said, I see in the paper where you're located. She said, I'll be there. And somebody, so that following week, somebody said, you're somebody in a Jag. You know anybody driving a Jag? I said, no. She, you know, all this fancy, she had this beautiful Jag car. She said, she pulled up. She said, where's that lady that I just read about? You know, her name is Jira Toby, that run this ministry. And they said, Jira, come on out. She's out here. Come on out here. So I ran out, you know, and there she was, a little short lady. I'm way up here, you know. And she got out of her car. She, you know, she donated beautiful clothes and everything. She said, you know, so she was telling me how she found out about me. And she said, I want to help you. Excuse me. And she said, as long as I live on this earth, I'm going to help you. Now, this lady is way from England. Way from England. Her and her husband, they move here and they start their business here. Okay, her husband's a big-time engineer and all this stuff. Woo! I mean, God will put you with people with high, you know. And so anyhow, she was telling me her story while she was living in England, how she was being raised up. She said, Jira, I know what it's like to be raised dirt poor. So she felt my, so all that. So anyhow, and then she says, and then that was good and everything. And then about a month or so later, she said, honey, she said to her husband, she said, I want to buy, she said, let's buy her a truck. Because we didn't have no truck. I mean, we didn't hardly have that much to haul anyway. But see, because I couldn't see, if I would have said no way back then I couldn't see all this that's going on step by step now. Okay? And so she called me. She said, can you meet me at a Brenner's Notary on South Queen Street? I said, yeah. So she gave me time to be there. So I went. And I was just shaking. I was so nervous. We went into Brenner's Notary, and I'm standing there, and she paying all this money. You know, I didn't have to put not one penny to nothing. She paid for everything. And then she said, come on, let me show you what we got for you. And I went out there in this beautiful 2004, amen, you know, a Ford 150 truck. She said, here go the keys, full tank of gas, go ahead. And she said, and we will pay for the insurance every year. Even to this day, her husband done died and gone on to heaven. And now she's still, all these many years, she's still paying for the insurance on that car. I mean, on that truck. I said, do you want me to look for a cheaper policy? She said, no, just no. I told you, as long as I live, I will help you. And so, anyhow, so she's still paying on the truck. Oh,
okay,
God.
I'm going to cut in because Jira will go a little bit longer, but bigger dreams. What's the next bigger dream you have?
And now our biggest need now, dream. But first I want to show you on yesterday, step by step.
Oh, yeah.
So step by step, I took pictures yesterday. Now, I put it out there in the atmosphere. We needed a commercial freezer. Now, our first commercial refrigerator, Jim Law gave it to us.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we still have it, still yeah, working. And now we were in need of a commercial freezer. Okay.
There's a picture of it in the truck.
Yeah, I'm telling you, God will put people in your life.
Yeah.
in order to help you. They'll hear about you. I may not know, I may be the head, but I need somebody to turn my neck and the shoulder and all this stuff. So God put people in my life to help me that know more than I know. And so then I put it out there.
But Gerald doesn't have a little dream. And it made her start a little dream in the back of her car. And then it got bigger and bigger. And her bigger dream is a building.
Right now we are.
A building, yep. Yes. They have a dream for a building.
For a building.
Because you should see her garage. She needs the building. Amen.
So we do need a building. We need a building. But this right here, yesterday, I was just so happy in tears and everything. I mean, this commercial freezer all the way from... the big business is out there in the West Coast, but this freezer came, brand new freezer came all the way from Cleveland, Ohio, okay? So anyhow, it's a beautiful stainless steel double door freezer. So brand spanking new, over $3,000.
Get over here, girl.
And it's paid in full.
Okay. All right. So talk to Gerald for the rest of the dreams. That's it. That's all you get in here. Oh, my God. All right. Father, we thank you that you have expanded Gerald's heart. And it's expanding for dreams, Father, and those seeds. Father, we ask you to water them by the Holy Spirit. And Father, the dreams, Father, we thank you that they will all come to pass. We thank you now for a building. That's the next big dream. And we thank you for it. It will house in one place. With those freezers and refrigerators so they can quickly and sort food and give it out. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Put your hand on your heart and say, Father God, expand my heart. Holy Spirit, rain down in my heart. Amen. Awaken dreams and give me bigger dreams for 2021. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you that you will take this word, Father, and you will just dissect it and help us comprehend and understand and act on it. Father, dreams for our life, dreams for our family, dreams for our business, dreams for careers, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you just open our eyes to the dreams and the seeds planted in our heart. And Holy Spirit, you open our eyes and our ears to keep us in this humble place that we would recognize when we step over here, when we need to be back here. And we say we will keep our hearts humble and open so that these dreams can grow. In Jesus' name, amen. There's another scripture, where is it? To stretch forth the borders of your tent. And that's what the Lord was talking to me this last couple of weeks. You have had small dreams. I want you to extend the borders of your dreams. Extend, enlarge your tent. All right? I'm not going out little, okay? I want to go out big. Big, big God, big dreams. Amen? Stand up, hallelujah. Father, we thank you that we can have everything you've made us to be. And we thank you, Father, we're going to press in and know and declare and walk it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I love you. Have a super big week if you'd like prayer. And I really, please, spend some time this week just getting quiet and just expand your dreams. Amen. Amen.